times, you're shockingly uneducated, Lucy. Marie Curie invented radio. Oh, do shut up! Lucy had crossed her arms and was staring angrily at Paul, ignoring Lady Tilney's reproachful glance. You can keep your lectures to yourself right now. You could have been dead. So will you kindly tell me how I was supposed to avert the disaster ahead of us without you? At this point, her voice shook. Or how I could go on living without you at all.
I'm sorry, Princess.
She had no idea just how sorry he was. Hm, said Lucy. You can leave out that remorseful doggy expression.
There's no point in thinking about what might have happened, my dear child, said Lady Tilney,
shaking her head as she helped Dr. Harrison to pack his instruments back in his medical bag.
It all turned out for the best. Paul was unlucky, but lucky as well.
Well, yes, it could have ended much worse, but that doesn't mean it was all for the best, cried Lucy. Nothing turned out for the best, nothing at all.
Her eyes filled with tears, and the sight almost broke Paul's heart.
We've been here for nearly 3 months, and we haven't done any of the things we planned to do, just the opposite. We've only made matters worse. We finally had those wretched papers in our hands, and then Paul simply gave them away.
Maybe I was a little too hasty.
He let his head drop back on the pillow.
But at that moment, I felt it was the right thing to do.
Because at that moment, I felt horribly close to death. Lord Alistair's sword could easily have finished him off. However, he mustn't let Lucy know that.
If we have Gideon on our side, there's still a chance. As soon as he's read those papers, he'll understand what we're doing and why.
Well, let's hope so, he thought. But we don't know exactly what's in the papers ourselves. They could all be in code, or... Oh, you don't even know just what you handed to Gideon, said Lucy. Lord Alistair could have palmed anything off on you. Old bills, love letters, blank sheets of paper. This idea had occurred to Paul himself some time ago. But what was done was done.
Sometimes you just have to trust things will be all right, he murmured,
wishing that applied to himself. The thought that he might have handed Gideon a bundle of worthless documents was bad enough. Even worse was the chance that the boy might take them straight off to Count Saint-Germain. That would mean that they'd thrown away their only trump card. But Gideon had said that he loved Gwyneth, and the way he said it had been, well, convincing.
He promised me,
Paul tried to say, but it came out as an inaudible whisper. It would have been a lie anyway. He hadn't had time to hear Gideon's answer. Trying to work with the Florentine Alliance was a stupid idea, he heard Lucy say. His eyes had closed. Whatever Dr. Harrison had given him, it worked fast. And yes, I know, Lucy went on. We ought to have dealt with the situation ourselves.
But you're not murderers, my child, said Lady Tilney.
What's the difference between committing a murder and getting someone else to do it? Lucy heaved a deep sigh, and although Lady Tilney contradicted her vigorously,
my dear, don't say such things. You didn't ask anyone to commit murder. You only handed over a little information.
She suddenly sounded inconsolable. We've got everything wrong that we could get wrong, Paul. All we've done in 3 months is to waste any amount of time and Margaret's money, and we've involved far too many other people.
It's Lord Tilney's money, Lady Tilney corrected her, and you'd be astonished to hear what he usually wastes it on. Horse races and dancing girls are the least of it. He won't even notice the small sums I've abstracted for our own purposes. If he ever does, I trust he'll be enough of a gentleman to say nothing about it.
Speaking for myself, I can't feel at all sorry to be involved,
Dr. Harrison assured them, smiling.
I'd just begun to find life rather boring, but it isn't every day of the week you meet time travelers.